The footy's on Triple M.
It's time.
This is what we've been waiting for.
Time for the Saturday run.
We're ready to go here.
Ahead of your Triple M footy triple header.
Amazing. Get around him.
For McDonald's.
Triple M rocks footy.
The Saturday Rub, here we are. We're in Clarendon Street. What a beautiful joint this is, by the way. Richard Marsden Studios, and just nestling in for an hour and a half before we get to the Gold Coast Brisbane game up in Queensland. And Brian's just fresh back from Adelaide. Hello to you, Brian.
I can't wait. I've got something. Introduce the other guys first.
All right. Oh, look at him. He's suddenly excited. He couldn't wait to get out of here a minute ago. And now look at he's got a buddy grin like a split watermelon. Hello to you, Duck. Nice to see you.
Yes, g'day guys. Good to be
get to
back
North
in Melbourne,
Melbourne and Port Adelaide with you momentarily. Purple, nice to see
Hello,
you.
Hello, Jim. And they tell me you've got a list today.
I'm sick of negativity in footy. I'm sick of the negative reporting.
I'm sick of how you become Mr. Positive.
And you're about you somewhere today. You're going to cop it. Hello to you, Fat.
I got a virus.
Oh!
I'm like everyone else out there. Everyone's dropping like flies.
What, so were you eating in the Anzac Day?
I had a bit of rabbit and terrain.
It's terrible.
Rabbit and duck terrain.
Jeez, it didn't affect you.
Actually, I had 8 plates with nothing wrong. I had the half-finished ones that the blokes got sick.
We have got Brad Scott to join us shortly. Trav Boak directly to talk about a great Port Adelaide performance.
JB, it's come to my attention.
Have a listen to Brisbane.
It has come to my attention. I'm not sure whether you're aware of this, Billy. Duck probably is because he's been involved. But what's happening in recent weeks is that clubs have been very kind, and they've been, when a network goes to cover a game, either Fox or Channel 7, they do a private briefing. The coach will get you into the rooms and he'll get the whole commentary team in, and he'll basically tell you, like last night, Kenny Hinckley was absolutely fantastic. Brought us in, showed us the team, showed us how they were going to line up.
Before the game.
Everything, like all the stuff on the wall, all this private stuff, went through everything. It was fantastic.
And trust you that you'll use it properly and, tell you the matchups, how players are going, what they're trying to do with their game style. So it's a really in-house sort of feel. Now, this has been going on for a number of weeks.
And everyone's open to it, BT?
Everyone's open to it. And most are open to
the whole crew.
And most are open to nearly everybody.
Nearly everybody.
Except for one.
Get on with it.
Right. So the Richmond Footy Club, Damien Hardwick, always very kind in opening the doors to all of us. But we got the call the other day, and our producer said, "Now listen, we got the call. They got Damien Hardwick and the whole thing." But when it got to the Saturday night crew at Channel 7,
which on this night was you,
no, it wasn't me. It was a little different. I'd previously been briefed by Damien, and he had no problems with the entire team coming forward. But on this particular being a Saturday night, and of course our boss here, JB, he does Saturday night football.
He's become Mr. Saturday night.
Guess what Damien Hardwick said?
What?
He said, "I'm happy to brief you all.
Yep.
I will brief you all except the commentator." I will not be doing any briefing if JB is there. Now, this is a little bit like you, Damo, the coaches.
This might go back some years, BT.
So what's behind it? Have you got any idea why JB wouldn't be included?
I think it goes back all the way to when JB had to find a coach for North Melbourne and may have overlooked Damien Hardwick in this whole scenario. Didn't even interview him.
Didn't get memory. Interview stage.
That is a long memory. I wasn't on the selection panel for the coach. So.
But he always held you.
I didn't interview anyone.
So you just sat
He always held you responsible, Jim.
Did you just sit outside, did you?
No.
Everyone was in the room and you're outside there like a naughty boy.
I was up in the commentary
box. Is that true, JB, that Dimmer was happy to brief the entire team except your good self?
Well, I did have it fed back to me that he only wanted to brief the special comments people. Oh. And I said, well, that's fair enough. And then I was the only one in the commentary box.
He was the only
commentator. Everyone else in the team was special comments.
Good on you, Dimmer. So that's very good. I didn't know that.
Yeah, so that's
so they tell you the whole who's matching up on who.
Most of them will. They're all different. Like we went to Johnny Longmire a couple of weeks ago and said, and he will talk about individuals rather than the team.
Mm-hmm.
And then last night, Kenny, who was great, spoke more about the team.
Yeah, Ken was more expansive. I mean, we went into the players' room and the actual team was on you know, obviously he knows we're not going to go and say where players are lining up, but it was open doors.
Gee, I'd go with that early. I'd go, well, I think there's a couple of things going on here.
there's a bit of trust there, Bill. And they tell you about all the late changes and all of that sort of thing as well. But this is something that's been going on in American sport for years.
I mean, it has.
Go to the NBA or the NFL, and the NFL coaches will actually tell the media what plays they're going to run, you know, and all that sort of stuff. So it's not unusual in world sport.
I did go to, I think, Nathan Buckley's first one. So, and we went down. And I love Bucks, by the way, but he hadn't done one before, and I think wasn't quite sure how far to go. So anyway, we walked in, and while she was there, of course, who we all know and love, and then Bucks walks in, and he looked at the three of us and went, what do you want?
now, tell us about the game quickly.
Anyway, we got Trav Boak coming on.
Yeah,
shortly.
I know, but how did you boys find it?
Well, the Ducks probably the one to comment. He's been commenting on North Melbourne now for quite a while.
Well, we got Brad Scott coming up next, so we will get take a good look at North. But you've got to admire Port Adelaide and what they're doing, Wayne.
No doubt about that. And the thing that we admire about them, they made some tough decisions, Bill, over the summer. And you talk about the players they let go and what they had to do to get some of this young talent
and
in.
And the kids in.
Yeah, talking about Rosie, obviously, he's the main one that they really wanted. And
they let a fair bit go to get him, didn't they?
They did, and they wanted him at pick five. They knew that he was going to be gone because I think St Kilda had pick six.
Pick six, and they wanted him.
And he had St Kilda posters all over his room, so they thought they had to get him before then.
And Butters,
they did.
Too.
And Butters, well, good. Well, all of them, Bill. So they've brought these kids in. What they've got speed, and all of these kids have got a little bit of spunk as well. They've got a bit of confidence about them.
Not too much, but enough. Yeah.
And then they're tall defenders. They're good marks. They're strong. They go for their marks.
So Cleary, Howard, those sort of guys.
Howard was brilliant last night.
Dougal.
So they've just got a really good blend. They've got their ex-captain Boak in arguably career best form.
It's borderline.
So they're really
all of a sudden,
and they've got Dixon to come back into that forward line too. Yep. So all of a sudden that potency.
And you can see there's no reliance on Robbie Gray anymore. If Robbie Gray plays well, it's a bonus, you know, and he kicks goals as a bonus.
If he doesn't play well, Sam Gray plays well.
Yeah, that's right.
And Evert being used up for two duck the way he's playing and hitting the scoreboard.
Well, people underestimate his marking overhead, don't they? He's a really good contested mark for his size. I'd never really thought like that about him.
And the change in their forward line, players being able to get up the ground and then back. So his fitness is obviously at a really, really high level. So he's one of those mids that was able to do that. Now he's just doing it in a different part of the ground.
Hey, speaking of a man who dominated, Trav Boak, one of our great mates on Triple M Footy. Hello, Trav.
Good morning, lads. How we doing?
Just 38 possessions, a lazy evening for you. In career best form, we would say.
Look, I'm just enjoying my footy, to be honest, mate. It's good fun there, running around there, and probably just letting go a little bit of not trying to control everything and just going out there and just getting a kick and playing my role. It's been fun.
Now, just fill us in a little bit. Lingy, on the broadcast last night, Lingy went with this new thing that you did, underwater breathing and all of that sort of stuff. Just fill us a little bit of how that came about.
I heard they got a bit of a run. So it happened about a couple of years ago. Through one of my sponsors, Red Bull, we had a summit, and Naam came and spoke to us about his training and preparation. And obviously, at the time, he was training with Mick, and then from there, I met him, and we did a few sessions. It was basically on the back of that West Coast final we had over here that we lost.
Yep.
And it was based around making decisions under pressure. So during that moment, we didn't get it right. I wanted to work on that, and it sort of happened to be that I met him during that off season, and we've done some work together.
Trev, just if you can, now that we've had six games of seeing you, how refreshed you seem to be, obviously physically for reasons that were born of you being able to do a pre-season, but just mentally, not having the captaincy, I know sometimes when you remove that role, you still are as much a leader as you always were, but what impact has it had on you that's allowed you to now go about your own football the way you have?
Yeah, look, it's a funny one. Walked away from it, I didn't think I'd change too much, and it wouldn't have been a big let go, but it certainly has been, and I think the captaincy has been a small part of it, but it's probably opened up other areas that have been able to let go and just not worry as much. And I think the biggest thing for me is I'm able to come home now and switch off a lot easier. When you are skipper, it's a lot harder to leave the club and come home and completely forget about how are the boys doing, what do I need to change here. We're not winning as many games as I'd like, the footy's not as good. There's so many things going through your head and it's really hard to switch off. And I just found that now a lot easier. And I think it's good that we've got two captains, Ollie and TJ. They can bounce off each other and it's a little bit easier in that space. But yeah, it just become pretty challenging, that space, to be able to switch off. And then for me now, it's just I get home, do whatever I want, go to the club and play footy.
Yeah, and the dynamic and impact personally on that, having been the main man in a leadership and sense for so long at this footy club, and now to walk in without that, is there a freedom attached to it too, Trev? I suppose you alluded to that a moment ago, but is it every day of every minute that you're dealing with it?
I think so. There's probably different scenarios and situations at the club that you think, oh, I don't actually have to speak up here, or you know, they're not looking at me to have the answer or little things like that. But I still consider myself a leader of the club. And I think now it's more folding into how can I bring up the younger guys to the next level. So we've got a little program for our younger generation and sort of getting together with them and trying to educate them on how to play footy and what it takes to prepare and what we need from them around the club to step up. And it's little things that are really enjoyable because I think once you do go through being a leader of a club, it's still there and you still want to be a part of it and obviously help TJ and Ollie where I can as well.
Hey, now, Trav, 4-2, so that's a great position to be in. Normally, players, Bill, would want to take it 1 week at a time, but I just want you to look at the next 5 weeks, Trav.
You don't have to, Trav.
You are playing teams, all with the exception of Collingwood next week, which is an incredible game on Friday night. All of the teams you play after that are below you, so it is a great chance to set yourselves up come the mid-year break, yes?
Yes. Yeah, look, it certainly is. I mean, I think for us, we back ourselves in against anyone now. And, you know, we play the type of footy we did over in Perth, you know, against the reigning premier on their home deck. And hopefully we can do the same to Collingwood this week. And, you know, we consider ourselves one of the better teams in the competition. We just need to make sure we do it every week. And our challenge is probably being against the lower side, the side that we should beat. So, who knows, mate? Hopefully we just keep playing the way we have the last couple of weeks.
Will Koshy be back? He's overseas at the moment. Is he coming back for the big game? Because he'll be front and centre with Big Ed and the whole thing.
Yeah, he should be there. Yeah, I think he gets along with Ed all right. So he's probably there with Ed. And well, long as he plenty of screen time as always.
As long as he doesn't go to the dinner, have rabbit tureen.
Tureen. We're talking to the Torquay Flyer, Travis Spoke, here on the rub.
Hey,
hope
by the
you're
way,
enjoying it.
Down at Torquay, Trav, the surf's pumping at the moment down there. I'm actually watching it.
I'm sitting at home watching it at the moment. It's ridiculous.
Just going to ask you about that.
I think it's on stand up.
Bill, you go with your question now then.
Well, I'll ask you about the youngsters at the club. You've got a couple of special ones there in Butters and Rosie and also Dersman, mate. They are sensational players.
Oh, they are. You know, what is it, 6 games in now and it's what they've played 100 games. That's how they act out on the ground and it's sort of what you want. So the way I compare them is during the week, they are, you know, they're doing everything right. They want to learn. They want to improve. They're super respectful. They get on the ground. It's like they've played 100 games, and they've got plenty of swagger. There's no doubt about that. And they'll let Oppo know. I think we saw Connor and Butsy round one, Lip and Gorney, and I spoke to Hodgie after the Brisbane game, and he said the same thing. He said, mate, your young players do not shut up. And he goes, but I bloody love it. So it's what you want. You want them to come out and feel like they've played a lot of footy and just let them play. You know, they've got there for a reason. They've got some talent and just go play and be you. So, it's been quite enjoyable having them in around the group too. Bring a lot of energy.
And when the draw comes out, Sam Gray must just see where North Melbourne is on the list because he plays his best game of the year every year against the Kangaroos.
He's kicked a few bags against him and, you know, last night was no different. He was he's been in great form the last few weeks and it was basically anything he got on his left foot, he said he wasn't passing. He's a right footer and somehow he was connecting pretty well on the left. So, but it's great to have him run up and about and playing some good footy. He's a vital player for our side.
All right, Bokey. Apparently there are big waves down at Bells.
Yeah, so
very, very big.
Go and enjoy them.
Yes.
Thanks, lads.
Well played, mate. Very, very good game of football played by you. Shut up. The footy's on Triple M. Yes, welcome back. The Saturday Rub here in South Melbourne ahead of a big day of football. Gold Coast, of course, take on Brisbane. The Q clash up there, and then the boys will take a look at St Kilda and Adelaide. And then tonight over in Perth, the game I'm going to, Fat. Fremantle take on the Western Bulldogs. Fremantle, one of the surprise packages.
Going with Lisa,
this year, no.
You seem to have a nice little trip, you two.
Not going anywhere of the type. Bill, I'm going over to commentate, getting on a plane, flying home. That's
see,
how
Lisa's
works.
Sister's a bit keen on me. The four of us are going to spend a bit more time together.
No desire to go anywhere near you, Bill. She's actually about to get married.
I've still got a chance.
To a man that's got you covered by that far, it doesn't matter now. What we did is had a look last night in Adelaide at Port Adelaide, North Melbourne. Port Adelaide, 16-point winners. But the coach of the North Melbourne Footy Club, Brad Scott, has been good enough to join us on the back of last night. Scotty, welcome to you.
Thanks, JB. Thanks, guys.
So what did you take out of last night's game? A couple of the statistical, I guess, things that jumped out of the page were contested footy being beaten by 24, which is an un-North Melbourne thing, but there are often reasons why that happens. What are those reasons?
Well, it was really a short period in the game where they really got on top of us in the second quarter, which, you know, we couldn't stem the flow, and then we probably got back on top in the third quarter. But, you know, we really dominated that period of that third quarter and, you know, got to the end of the quarter with two goals apiece. So, you know, we leaked a couple of easy goals and just couldn't quite capitalise on the dominance around the ball. But Port Adelaide certainly plays style of a high defence and push numbers up around the contest, and we really felt that we were defending a little bit deeper and we would get our opportunities if we could counter-attack. And Ben Cunnington was fantastic in there, and our midfielders, while being outnumbered around the contest, certainly helped shore up our defence at times as well. So it was a bit of a tactical battle there, and it ebbed and flowed, and at the end of the day, Port capitalised on their opportunities better than we did.
Losing Higgins obviously wouldn't have helped. The other one is the tackle count, Scotty. I don't think North have won a tackle count all year. Again, do we read too much into this, or is that something that's concerning you?
No, it's concerning. I mean, any time that... the only time that the tackle numbers are not concerning if they're significantly in deficit is if you're really dominating time in possession. Because obviously you can't tackle if you've got the ball majority of the time. But you know, Port Adelaide are doing that well at the moment. They're controlling time in possession, but their pressure's also very good. So that's when we're playing our best, what it looks like for us. And it's not at the level it needs to be at the moment.
Yeah, just a few of the basics, Scotty. Obviously last night, obviously skill errors you can't coach. But just one of the things that I found a little disappointing, obviously Howard and a few other defenders for Port Adelaide were able to mark the footy, and once you mark the footy you can obviously set things up from there, so that ball never came to ground often enough for mine.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. It was a key focus going in. I mean, at times when we did get the ball to ground, we looked dangerous. We certainly were able to create one-on-ones, and the forward structure, Duck, I reckon, looked better with Nick, the inclusion of Nick Larkey coming in. And
he's good, wasn't he?
Yeah, he provided another target. He's a young, developing player that, you know, we put a lot of time into, and you know, it's no secret, you know, that we've, you know, while Jared Waite was certainly at the end of his career in his mid-30s, we just right at the moment hadn't been able to replace him, and Nick is someone that we hope can come in and play that role and take some of the focus and pressure off Ben Brown.
Hey, Brad, just Mason Wood. We noticed last week as well that he, you know, starting to play a role and starting to become an important player for you and all that sort of thing. But just noticed that he does look to give it off when, in fact, it's his time to sometimes step up and take control or kick the goal or whatever it is. And he did that again last night. Is that something you've been trying to instill in his confidence that, you know, he's got to take that shot?
Well, I think that there's a... You know, we want to create quality shots at goal, and accuracy has been something that's really let us down early in the start of the year. So I think there's a difference between, you know, creating a quality shot at goal and taking the responsibility when you've got a high percentage shot. So, you know, Mace has missed a couple that you know, he would normally kick, and he's doing a hell of a lot of work at training. And it clearly comes down to game day, just, you know, taking that responsibility and having the confidence in yourself. And, yeah, we've probably got to get the balance right between generating the quality shot and taking the responsibility when you've already got a high percentage shot.
Brad, a couple of your bigger names, Todd Goldstein and Ben Brown. Goldstein has toiled really hard and well this year, took on two really quality ruckmen last night in Lysette and Ryder. Brown struggled. Could you just give us your assessment, please, of those two individuals both last night and on the season?
I think they've set standards for themselves that you know, rightly, I think that everyone holds them to. And Brownie's coming off consecutive years of 60-plus goals. And again, you know, we've got to look at how we can support him. And, you know, he's a high-quality target for us, and we certainly do look for him inside forward 50, which is both a strength and a weakness. So, you know, I think Nick Larkin, the inclusion, will help him. And I was probably concerned 2 years ago when a few of our key forwards moved on that Brownie was going to become the sole focus and the sole focus of the opposition defence. And you know, the last 2 years, he's handled that brilliantly. And you know, he's suffering because, like a lot of forwards do, the delivery hasn't been at the level required this year. So he's doing an enormous amount of work. I think that it's only a matter of time for him before things turn, and it'll tend to turn with the quality of delivery that we give him.
And Goldstein?
Yeah, look, I think Goldie's role is pretty well documented in terms of the workload that he provides for us. And you know, Nick Larkey was able to come in as a backup ruck, which enabled us to keep Brown forward. But you know, Goldie hasn't returned to the heights he's set in his All-Australian year. But you know, I think he's still playing a valuable role for us.
Hey Brad, I'm reading in the paper. We're back in Melbourne now. I'm reading in the paper. Boomer awaits a ruse call.
He's ready. He's waiting for your call, Brad.
Yeah, well, I did.
He's ready to go.
Well, he's ready. He said, "I never say never." I'm just waiting for Brad to ring me now. Actually,
Brad, I'm ready to go too, Brad.
I was wondering. That was the question I was going to ask.
Would Ducker get a game? David King, would you play him?
Well, I reckon Duck would be more likely.
Hey, Scotty, I've heard you talk regularly about building a midfield and you can't keep relying on Higgins and Cunnington as much as you are, and I would agree with that. Who, for North Melbourne fans, are you really confident is going to step into that part of the ground in the next 40 games and become an A-grader?
Oh, look, David Uniac is the obvious one in his second year. I mean, I'm clearly a huge fan of Ben Cunnington, but he's... You know, JB doesn't speak much, but no. Recently he has spoken about his struggles early in his career, and we had to work with him through some spells back in the VFL and finding his place in the game. And he by you know, his own admission, has said that he struggled early in his career and that Luke Davies Uniac is a mile ahead of him at the same stage of his career. So we've got real belief in Luke, and he's starting to show a lot of the attributes he showed as an elite junior. And Taron Thomas is the other one who looked, you know, just a class AFL player already in only his third or fourth game on the weekend. So they're two that we will start to filter through our midfield in time.
And Brad, we've learnt that Sean Higgins was discharged from hospital before the game ended after being replenished with fluids. Do you know at this early stage of his availability for next week?
Oh, we think he should be right. I mean, it was... at the moment, it's unclear whether it was a gastro type illness or food poisoning. But the rapid onset. I mean, I was talking to him at lunchtime, and he was absolutely fine, 100%. And then on the way to the game, he went downhill unbelievably quickly. So that suggests it might have been more of a food poisoning issue than anything else. So while it's pretty violent at the time, it tends to turn around pretty quickly.
Hey, Scotty, thanks very much for that. Good luck, big game against the Blues coming up.
Yeah, appreciate it, guys.
Brad Scott there. Hey, Duck, you were talking about Ben Brown and last night. Mm-hmm. I reckon Drew Petrie was an enormously underrated big forward in the game, let alone for North Melbourne. And the issue for me with Ben Brown last night was not so much what happened inside 50, was that long outlet kick down the line. The amount of times he was outmarked and had no impact on the marking contest.
Which is what you're referring to, of course.
So if he did nothing more, Ben, than got some old footage of Drewy, because he just made sure whether it was a 1v3, 1v4, he was never, ever outmarked in that situation. The ball always came to ground, and that's where he's got to get his game to.
And there are young players coming through the game, and you don't have to be. This is the great thing, and you talk about talent. you talk about talent and teams with less talent, but they all play a role. I mean, young Marshall, his attack on the footy, he never got outmarked. He didn't have a heap of the ball. He didn't have a massive game. But there are just some guys that it's instinctive to not be beaten. And sometimes it might be a three-on-one. You might be three against one, but you can at least get that ball to ground. It's not – so that's got to be the bare minimum as a big forward.
Might need a bit of meat or something.
Yeah, well – but the improvement of those
Ben,
Port Adelaide defenders, weren't they good? The Port Adelaide defenders, they've improved. They've been unbelievable.
No doubt. Houston and those guys. I mean,
Dougal and Houston.
Yeah, they read the game
and they mark it.
And they exactly right. Yeah. Once you mark it,
stop the momentum.
Well, Houston spent his first 30-odd games playing probably at the wrong end of the ground for him, didn't he? He was playing forward.
But even Cleary, you saw him a couple of times. You thought, hang on.
Yeah,
but he's certainly improved.
What are we? News coming up, Bristol. Yeah. Damo's ready to go with a nice news segment. And we're also going to hear from the vault.
Oh, yes.
Because we've got Rocket Eat, of course, during the week, and there's been lots of talk about if it is, in fact, Rocket.
Don't play that, Jim. It's unfair.
Can we bring out the Nadia Comaneci?
Why don't we roll it in with George Foreman as well?
Yeah. Can we please
where we're going to the vault is a slightly different one. Because the topic of Rocket Eat, we've got Spud. I think. We're just going to make sure, Damo, we've left you in charge of digging this up.
We're just making sure there's enough beeps because we need more beeps than Rocket required.
Right. News and a change for the Blues.
For Adelaide. The Crows, who have got a very big game against the Saints at Marvel Stadium. Bryce Gibbs are confirmed out in that team. The replacement for him is yet to be determined, but he is out. It's a virus, I think, Duck. But
there is, isn't there?
Backing over what Brad Scott said about Sean Higgins, he was discharged last night. They cannot work it out because he ate everything the same as every other player did, BT, and they just cannot work out how he managed to get so sick.
What about how nuts it was? You boys were doing the TV on Anzac Day, but Bill, we were in the commentary box during the magnificent service and the silence.
Yes.
And they were dropping beneath us like flies.
Like I saw you.
Could you see it?
Three separate people just went bang down right in front of us, and the paramedics all came right in the middle of the silence, so it was bloody difficult for everyone to work it out. But
Rabbit have mixo or something?
I don't know.
Oh,
no idea, BT.
$725 a head that luncheon.
Yeah.
You get a refund, Bill, I would have thought.
Well, you get a couple of weeks out of that, I reckon, mate, because they were dropping. I saw you and Swatter.
They just kept falling one after another right down in front of us, and it was almost like a heat stroke thing, but obviously it wasn't. We found out later that it was the rabbit being served.
Bryce Gibbs out. I'll tell you who's on the emergency for the second week in a row at Adelaide. Jenkins. He won't come in for him, wouldn't have thought.
Wouldn't have thought the way they were talking 2 weeks last in a row, night locally, yeah.
Yeah,
Jack Revolt.
Yeah, Jack Revolt. Look, 6 to 8 weeks, BT, Duck, Bill, Jim, is what the Richmond Footy Club is saying for his sidelining period with effectively a PCL-related injury.
And they don't like to operate. They don't like to have surgery on PCLs because it's at the back of the knee near the nerves. It's one they can operate and they can fix, but they don't like to have surgery on PCLs.
Has there been times in the past?
I think there's been one or two done, but it would be a rare operation for a footballer to have for a PCL.
Okay.
Big man out of the game for one of the stars of that team.
And the difference is, obviously, when he had his wrist hand, you're able to run. So he came back. He was moving over the ground really well. This is completely different now.
Yeah, and on the other knee too, Duck.
A good knee.
Yeah.
Jack Viney?
Yeah, Jack Viney, still to be determined how long, but they're still assessing the knock that he got from Sydney Stack on the weekend.
AC joint?
It looks like he's going to miss some footy. Now, just whether that's 2 weeks or 3 weeks or whatever, but again, they're yet to officially reveal the diagnosis.
Was it concussion?
On that. There's an element of that too, Bill.
There?
And Simon Goodwin did say that post-match that they need to assess that as part of the whole consideration too, but he seemed to get him pretty cleanly, didn't he, down the side? And I couldn't see any match review officer issue for Sydney Stack on that.
You get hit like that, that's when the little AC just pops up.
Yep. You played with the great Byron Pickett.
Yeah.
It was Pickett-esque.
Yeah, it was.
He's got a way to go to get anywhere near Byron, by the way. I think there are a few people that are going pretty early with that one. But it was like the great Byron Pickett.
He's electrifying, isn't he? Mm. He just, everything he does, like Damien Hardwick said, crowd favourite already. But I love the fact that he's prepared to do it because so many players are not prepared to do it because out of fear that You know, they might go high, but his timing and lining up was perfect.
Just on availability of players too, Phil Davis, yes. For the later game tonight, Bill, the night game against the Sydney Swans, there's still significant doubt about his availability to play on Buddy Franklin in what would be match shaping potentially. Well,
he goes to Buddy every time.
If there's any doubt over your body and you're going to line up on Buddy, you probably should, you know, maybe
make
actually
rest you're right. Yeah.
Make sure you're right. Otherwise, you just, I mean, you look like a fool. Because if you go out there half fit against someone like Buddy, he'll make you look like a fool.
That ridiculously straight back just puts sort of strain on all parts of the body, Purple. That's always been Phil Davis's
issue. You caught him a straight backer in his second game of footy for as a crow,
ridiculous.
Jim.
Nick Blakey's in, Jim.
Sloping shoulders. What did Bristol call him? A meerkat.
He's a straight back and a long necker.
It's an enormously sloping pair of shoulders. Yes. I do like that. Jaron Geary, while we're talking injured players.
Yeah, look, there's still no time frame upon his return. There's bigger pictures at play here.
Have you seen?
I haven't. I don't want to see it either.
Now, just to describe, I've seen the photo of, operation that he had to have.
Describe it if you can, Doug, seeing you're prepared to talk about it.
Okay, so from a cut from the knee to the top of his thigh, right through the middle, and it opened, and you talk about open up like a watermelon. I've never seen a cut like it. And apparently they had to keep it open for a fair period of time. So I've never seen anything like it. Let's put it that way. So for them to say that I can't see him playing for a very long time.
Yeah. I mean,
it is.
No one's going to say it, but obviously the possibility of him not playing this year is a possibility. It's a possibility, Jim, from what Duck is describing and from what people around the club are saying.
He could have lost his.
Oh, yeah, that has happened.
It is.
Haven't they had some strange injuries?
Yeah, they have.
Yeah,
they have. With Robertson and McCartan, who's still unknown as to when he returns.
I would assume at some point, I mean, if you're a little bit queasy, you can't look at it. No. It is that horrendous.
Actually, stop doctors, talking about
it. Doctors do a good job.
No doubt.
Yeah. By the way, there is a doctor within the fairly high-profile doctor within the ranks that's splitting at the end of this year, and
hello.
Perhaps
hang on.
What? You know, anyway,
you're big in this doctor's place.
Move on.
Splitting
club?
Just a club.
Just a club.
High profile one.
Melbourne club.
Not the right time for him to want to go, but I think they're.
Oh, hello.
That'd be a Melbourne club.
Being shown the door.
Can you limit that?
No.
Over the West Gate.
Over the bridge.
Oh.
No, I don't know where it is. I've just heard that.
That limits it to Western Bulldogs or Geelong?
No, I actually don't know who it is.
Geelong's all good.
So it's Western Bulldogs?
No, it's not.
Nathan Vardy been dropped too.
Has he?
Yeah, he has
Premiership
been.
Premiership star. Being dropped for Sunday's game against the Cats.
Now, Nathan Buckley, I reckon, Leroy, we got the grab of what he said after Scott Pendlebury had spoken on Anzac Day. Have a listen to this.
And the winner of the Anzac Day medal is Scott Pendlebury of the Collingwood Footy Club. Sides, I want to thank the crowd. Shame on anyone that booed
a champion. Where do we sit with this?
Wow.
We've got an issue with it, Jim. I reckon the AFL has a major worry about what's happening with Gary Ablett. Now, there's not a linkage because of the topic and the reason for the booing that is similar between Ablett and Adam Goods. But because it is, in their eyes, due to a liking dark about the social media posting, it is an issue that they are not going to be able to control. And it's fortunate, I feel, Bill, that Gary Ablett is playing in Geelong this particular week because he won't get booed down there. They've got Essendon again in round seven on the Sunday game. And I think that's going to become a litmus test for it. The booing of Scott Pendlebury, I just didn't like, Duck. I know we've all got views on it. I know we've all got reasons to boo, and I know that people think it's a God-given right and even an entitlement that comes with your admission to a game of
but
footy.
But this was different,
though. This was different.
That was the occasion and the day.
Yeah.
Umpires had made a couple of ordinary decisions.
So are you saying it was justifiable?
I reckon, yeah, at the time.
I would say the occasion, Bill, of Anzac Day, which is the most sacred day on the AFL calendar.
And guess what? I woke up the next
day. Hijacked.
Nathan's still with us. Scott Pendlebury's still with us. Listen, Collingwood is still with us. Essendon's still with us.
So,
Hijacked, Bill.
Oh,
so Pendlebury says it's okay. He doesn't mind it. Ken Hinckley, talking to him, I see he says in the press yesterday, he just thinks it's part of...
Laughed at it. You know,
this is the emotion thing. I watched the other night the Richmond game on the Wednesday night, and I was looking down in front of the commentary box, and I saw a guy who was obviously a businessman by himself after the game when the song was being played that Richmond had won. And he was dancing like a lunatic. And I'm looking down at the guy, and I'm thinking, That's a normal businessman who's there by himself dancing like a
having
lizard.
Fun.
That's what the cauldron of football does. It brings out all of these different emotions. Yes. I wouldn't sit there myself and boo anyone, but I can understand why they do and the feeling of that. Once you walk out the ground, it's all forgotten and they turn back into the normal person that they are. But there's this emotional...
Does that make it right, BT?
Well, I don't think...
It doesn't, in my eyes. Essendon supporters ruined that day.
Well, they didn't ruin that day.
In my eyes... It is right, and there's not a problem with it. I've got no problem with people booing. It's not something I do myself, but I've got no problem, and I can understand the emotion. And all that booing at Penelope was not at Scott Penelope personally. That was all about the umpiring in that last quarter.
But that doesn't make it right.
You know,
he's being presented with the Anzac Day medal, BT, on that day.
What we'll do with your games is we'll go to the footy and we'll go...
Yep, that's it. That'll do. No more.
Well done, jolly fella.
Jolly fella.
Yeah, jolly.
I mean, we can't do anything at the footy now. Let people have the right, if they want to boo or they want to cheer or they want to clap, anything except the abusive language and the racisms. Surely they can do at least do that.
Yes. Jim, your take.
It's disgraceful redneck bogan behaviour that I'll never, ever understand. But the difference with this one is it was 5 minutes after the game. So I don't have an issue during the game if you want to carry on like a halfwit, charge your hardest. But once the game's finished, and it had finished...
Get on with it.
This bloke had won the best player on the ground, clearly.
On Anzac Day.
He hadn't clubbed anyone to death or coat hanging. He hadn't done anything on the ground that warranted being booed at all.
He said he's okay with it.
Yeah. I don't care if he is or not. I think that...
Doesn't matter what he thinks.
Say he's the best on ground.
It doesn't matter what he thinks when he's the target, so does it matter what Gary Ablett thinks?
And so if the Norm Smith medalist on grand final day, you don't mind if he gets booed.
That's fine.
It's fine to boo a Norm Smith medalist.
But JB, you're missing the point. They weren't booing him.
Doesn't matter.
He was booing the fact he
received the award, and at that moment he deserved the respect of being an Anzac Day medalist.
The fact you've got to explain what they were doing, BT, is reason enough to say it's not right.
Forget about me explaining anything. Booing is okay. There is nothing wrong with it. And for all those people out there that think, just in the last month, we've started to boo at footy games.
Booing
has been going on forever in sport worldwide.
There is
nothing wrong with it within the cauldron and the emotion of that particular venue. There is nothing wrong with it. I mean, get over it. We are so precious.
We drove
a great out of a game because of it when it was done on racist grounds.
That's 2015. Racism is a completely separate thing. Do not put that with the booing. That's exactly what it was. That is a completely and utterly separate thing. Surely people have the right to clap or boo at the footy. Surely. Mm.
For me...
You wouldn't do it, JB, and I wouldn't do it.
No.
And Damon, none of us here would, because we're not that... But,
yeah, well, Bill...
But guess what? Some people get so involved in the game, they do, and that's what they enjoy doing.
Those two decisions late Anzac Day were a great shame for me, because I thought that game, Duck, had been brilliantly officiated until that point. And then they had two howlers within a minute, and that's what caused the outpouring, if you like. Hey, we need to get to the break, because I'll tell you what we're doing next. We're having a listen to Rocket Eid, for a start. I think we've got that ready. Well, if it is Rocket... We will discuss that as well.
It's been doctored.
And then I think we're just looking at DC in the booth. I think we've got Spud ready to go. Damo.
I think we're good.
This is on you.
Is it?
Yep. You have single-handedly requested that this go to air. So.
But don't boo.
We've got Duck here, of course, fresh back from Adelaide. I love when the boys have been travelling. They got a nice glint in the eye. Bristle's back. Hello, Bristle.
Yes.
Nice to see you again, of course. You've been here for an hour. Hello, Domo. Nice to see you.
Thank you, Jim.
Out of the break, of course, and fat down the end there. Just we're on air.
Hi, Jim.
Can't keep watching the television.
Well, I'm waiting for Megan to drop the baby, and she still hasn't, Jim. Come on, Megsy.
He has not been doing anything but looking at the screen since we've started this show.
Come on, Bill.
Now, by the way, get to Macca's in enjoy a double beef and bacon meal deal for just $5. Stuck into that. Now, during the week, Damo, we had some audio emerge from our man, Rocket Rodney Eid.
Triple M's own.
Triple M's own Rocket Rodney Eid. Well, is it or isn't it in the coach's box? Now, fair to say that during his time as a very, very successful coach for three different clubs, he was known as being a bit spicy in the box.
With good reason, but known for being that way.
Hot and spicy.
I think there was a fair reputation that he could get nicely wound up in the coach's box.
It was a well-earned reputation.
Yeah, I think there was. Yeah. But anyway, it spilt out into the public forum during the week that this man actually on one occasion went screaming right over the top. So let's have a listen.
Who's the man?
Who is it, Willow?
It's me, Mitch.
Come on, Mitch!
Right.
Work, Mitch!
So is he just not working hard?
No. You will!
No, he's round what? The winger.
Right, okay.
Unless
okay.
We just sack that.
No.
F***ing run, Will! Get off quick!
Rock it. We can't think.
Sorry,
come on, come on, come on, come on. Sorry. Okay. Come on. Right, okay. Yeah, Mitch. Okay, now Minson for...
Get him off.
Yeah,
Get Minson off!
He's coming... Get him back off! Get him off!
Get
him off!
Rocket,
we can't hear. We can't f***ing hear.
So
that's funny. Every well time
done,
you hear that.
Well done, Leon Cameron.
Pandemonium. Yeah.
So then, our man Rocket hit the tweet. For everyone having a chuckle at some audio from the coach's box of 10 years ago, I can say the audio has been doctored with pieces added and condensed for effect.
Yeah, that.
They are not me. Very clever impersonator. Good stitch up. He then said, "P.S. Will and I still get along fine. Bring on the footy tonight."
Yeah. That is funny.
So did anyone get to the bottom of was
well
Damon?
Well,
it was him for a large part of it.
I mean, I agree with the condensing of it. That's obvious.
That might have happened.
What about the impersonator part? I don't.
Which part was impersonated?
That's what I'm.
What I love.
By
is,
the way, hilarious.
Oh yeah, good. No, and we had Nath Brown in here who played, I think, at the Western Bulldogs under Rocket. I think I'm right in saying. And his first words upon hearing it was, "Come on, Rocket."
Luke Darcy effectively said the same thing last night too, Jim. You would have had some dealings with him, Duck, early days with his coaching career at North Melbourne.
Yeah. No, he was scathing on young guys. He was hard. He was a hard coach. And funnily enough, I work with him tomorrow. So we'll play that again tomorrow.
Yeah,
so he can answer it live.
What I'm impressed with is Leon Cameron. Yeah. Had all the answers, didn't he?
He couldn't think.
Will he laugh at it?
I don't care if he does, Bill.
All right.
I'll be bringing it up.
All right. But surely you have a laugh at it, don't you?
You would think so. Even he said in his tweet, he said, "I'm glad everyone's having a laugh." It is. He's got to look at the funny side of it. It's a bit like wearing a possum on your head. You've got to take the funny. You've got to own it.
You've got to own it, BT.
What about
when he said sorry? And then within a second of saying sorry, he's, well.
That's why I think it's condensed quite dramatically.
Yeah.
But where's it come from, Damo? How's it emerged?
I haven't got to the bottom of that, Jim. What we do know, and this probably gets us into the next part of what we're about to discuss today, because it's not new, is it? This whole recording of coaches and then playing it is not new. We did it ourselves, Jim, with Danny Frawley.
Oh, no.
When Danny Frawley was a member of this crew, Spud Frawley, he was coach of Richmond, and this was him being recorded during that time.
You should have kicked the thing. What am I doing? You couldn't have kicked it. How many times? It's nuts. And how? Gasper. How? Royce goal side, not a Gergic. No, all right, just two up, folks. Tim or Joel? Go to the ball. Don't at it. Oh, Jesus, Rory, that's why you're there. Not the run under the ball. Because if you start on the floor now, I'm in trouble here. Wait.
No, he's not.
Just tell Chappie's got to put some time into this bloke. Go outside. Now, let's see if we can push Rory Hilton up to the wing. Yeah, and just see what happens. Go pony, Joel. Hey, boys, that's Joel Bowen. Tell Joel to pick McDonald up, Pearson's got a job to do on Thursday. Run the own race, Joel. Ryan's jumping out of the boat. Flee. Tell Bird to kick the ball. The card's on off your direct opponent inside forward 50.
No.
Put that down, got us.
Where's
Bowden now?
Bowden is back in the hole, back behind the footy. Butch, let's get Joel to play half forward for a minute. Just tell him to push half forward.
He gave away 50 metres.
Take him off and put who we got? Put Dragosevic on the wing. Quick. Was it him or not?
Yeah, it was him.
Oh, we got to do it. They take him down there to the play, but we've got to try something. We've been blown away. Put Joel on the phone. Mate, you must have heard the umpire's whistle there. Did you hear it or not? Oh, now let's lose them. Yeah, Farmer's taking a mark for f***ing sake. Alright, come back on again and we'll just have a look. Stop for a minute. Oh, hell, Tibber. Put that down, guys. We're too man conscious. Aren't we a f***ing race? What's wrong with us? We're just f***ing out.
What about after going off bad, he gets you to the bench and then he just goes all easy on him? Yeah. Oh, well, we'll get you back on.
Yeah. Oh, didn't on, hear the smud. Whistle.
You come could on, listen, smud. You could listen to that all day. Oh, who
Dragosevic?
Who jumped out of the boat?
Was
that Rory?
I don't know. But a lot of beeps.
Rory Hilton.
Oh, wouldn't you love to hear it just with no beeps?
And what about when he gives it that, geez, we're in trouble now?
We've got to try something. So, Damo, who tapes this? Where do these things come from?
Yeah, look, the Spud one, I believe, BT, was done for his own benefit, to allow him to look back and hear back what he was saying and how uncontrolled in that environment they were. And that was not uncommon back then, was it? I mean, that unfortunately...
I reckon it would still happen now.
I don't think it happens to that level.
For coaches, as a feedback tool, they would want to hear it back because at the time they don't realise how dysfunctional it can get.
As a behaviour, though, Jim, I'd be staggered if anyone was like that, even for a 10-second patch.
I'm talking about the recording of what happens in the box.
I think it does go
on. The bloke in the local comp, member, he said, and I bought the cans of Solo. Don't open the cans of Solo. Stick them fair up your... That's what he's talking about, I think.
Dennis back in the day could get Dennis, a little wound up.
Well, the times I sat in the box, it was more about what was going on in and around the game. It was never, you know, he'd be bagging the runner for, you know, not being able to find a player, or the doctor was funny running style. It was like, it seriously was a comedy festival.
The other one was, going back even further, was TJ, Tony Jewell at Richmond in the sort of 80s, early 80s. He was pretty dynamic.
How were you in the brand box, BT? Yeah.
Well, I was more interested in taping the other coach.
Yeah, it's got out of you.
Taping myself. No, that's not true.
early days with Dean Laidley, he used to say every now and then, come in, give me your feedback. Mm-hmm. And he was completely different because he used to look ahead of the play all the time.
Right.
So we would turn the ball over horribly across half back and he'd turn around and go, what happened then?
Oh.
You go, well, he just handballed straight the other bloke. He go, oh, shit, because he was looking at the structure of what
probably
was ahead.
Should have watched the game.
No, no, actually, he was. I reckon he was more
that might have helped
before his time.
Who's been the most explosive ever, do you reckon?
Malcolm Blight was.
Yeah, Blighty was. Because
he came off Ron Brassey.
Ron Brassey, we'll see. Brassey, you look at all of his...
Disciples,
Pagan, Blight, all of those guys, and they just followed on. I reckon, of the modern-day coaches, I reckon Clarko would be, he'd have to be up there with one of the scariest. If he gave a spray, I reckon they'd sit up and listen.
Interesting that they're now down on the pine.
Yeah.
You know, you can't do that anymore from down there, and therefore the control behaviour we see every week. Hey, I'll tell you what I'm going to do next, Purple, and you better listen right up. I've had enough of the negativity around our game.
Oh, because you become Mr. Positive.
I've had enough of the negativity around our game.
Because you're on Channel 7 now.
That's it.
Yeah.
I'm positive everywhere.
No, you're not.
It's all about you.
I am the man when it comes to positivity. But anyways, this is not about me. This is about some people who are about to cop it, and you better listen up.
Yes.
So negativity around the AFL, I'm going to take a real close look at. I've demanded a little bit of time today. And I'm going to roll with something that I'm calling the negative set. Because it's crept into our game, and I'm not happy about it.
Because you've become Mr. Positive. You're now presenting to the world a friendly face on Channel 7. You're trying to position yourself to take over from Bruce McAvaney. And now you want to be seen, to be embracing of all the worlds. You're reading everything.
Don't like booing.
You've become a strategist. Yeah.
These are the people involved in our game who have become immersed in their own negativity.
Oh.
Which staggers me, Duck, given every single one of the people I'm about to talk about owe 100% of their living to the product, they are 100% of the time negative about it.
Yes, I like it already, JP. I like it already.
Did you know, Purple, that if you live in Dubai and attempt to be in any way negative about the government, the royal family, the standard of living, the price of stuff, they piss you off. You're chucked out of there.
They stone you, don't they?
So, Bill.
Well, we've got democracy, Jim.
The following people whose whole ability to pay their mortgage depends entirely on the existence of the AFL have been called out for constant, carping, incessant negativity.
By whom?
Right. Number five.
Five.
Number five, and five makes ten in my book. Number five, Cain Corns. Oh. I genuinely like him.
Only five.
Shut up.
He's a nice guy.
Let him go. He only comes in at five.
I genuinely like Kane as a bloke.
Number four.
And I absolutely love his family.
So don't do that.
Shut up.
Don't name him and then go reverse.
Do we want to do something else?
No, you go.
Oh, shut up then. I'm a huge fan of his father. Oh. A man who wore number 11 for North a long way before the great Glenn Archer. Legend of South Australian football. I love Chadwick. A man who has love bites in the mirror, bricks under the arms. And I love Kane. Yeah. Kane got the 100% the most out of his ability, 300 games, premiership, ultimate respect.
Got to 300 and
nice
retired.
Nice guy, great runner.
Got to 300 and retired.
Early too.
But if the only thing you're known at in this cape is putting shit on blokes, like Jordan Lewis, who's a four-time premiership superstar, 300 gamer, it ain't going to last.
It's about now.
He's got
There's
more than that, Jim.
There's an old saying, Purple, about never pissing on statues. At the moment, Kane's eight-day clock never gets back into his pants. His bladder's that bloody dry, he's just emerged from 60 days in rehab. Number four.
Why don't you piss on statues?
Caroline Wilson. Seriously, how much juice do you want to suck out of that lemon, Caro? Last time I checked, you've been in this business for 30 years.
This is personal.
That's nearly 11,000 days.
That's personal, Jim.
And the sun has risen on every one of those 11,000 days. You wouldn't bloody know it. All right, number three.
Parachute will be met at the point.
And I'm putting these in as a group.
Three.
Robbo, Ralphie, and whoever else there is there. Now, I know the charter in that place, Damo, is to put as much SH1T on everything you can every time, every day. But danger's a delight. Blissful, skill, beautiful human being, dusty, refreshing with his different look and complete lack of care and brilliance. Nate Fife's in our comp.
Yep.
So's Buddy, Pendles, Josh Kennedy, Sydney Stack, for God's sake. There's hundreds of them. Great stories everywhere, you blokes. So open your eyes. Oh. You just might stumble across one.
Jeez.
Anyway, that's the build-up. Because the number one.
You're leaving or something.
Who's one?
The number
one. You like it, Duck, do you?
Yeah. Number one.
No, number two you're up to.
No, I put all those three in the middle category.
Three,
if you
two,
listen,
right.
Bill.
Three and two.
Number
yeah.
one. And finally, I've arrived there. This man started a segment on his own webpage called Sliding Doors. And in the time it's taken to go from 10 people reading it to 400.
Jim, last week it was 500,000.
He has single-handedly put every person who matters in the AFL offside.
Yes.
Just in the last week, he picked a fight with Luke Hodge and Gary Ablett Jr.
Yes.
Two of the biggest names in our competition.
Not Gary Ablett Jr.
And they both treated him like he was a pimply kid thinking he was a chance with the school glamour. Complete contempt.
Isn't it, Duck?
He's been crashed into by Luke Beveridge at the Brownlow.
Yes.
Nearly gang-clubbed by the Scott brothers, Scott and brothers. He still hasn't learned. You are the grass these giants walk on, Purple, and it's sparse, unwatered grass at best. And I've got a suggestion for your segment. If Damo doesn't stop piling into blokes in this column, then it's only a matter of time before Mitch Cleary takes over, because Purple will be eating through a bloody straw. So in closing, Purple, I want you to take this back to your comrades.
Number one, am I, Jim?
I'm sick of the tirade of negativity that exists in our game.
Yeah.
Get happy with covering the greatest game in the world, or to quote our great mate Jason Dunstall, pack up and ship off. Because last time I checked, Lawn Bowls needs paper inches too.
Is that it?
Are you taking me seriously?
It's hard to take you seriously, Jim, because I know the agenda we're running this year, you're running.
Well written.
He's always well written. He does that very well.
He does do
Purple, take me seriously. I'm a good friend of yours.
I had a little stoush with one person last week.
I'm a good friend of yours. I think you need to discover the positive side of your nature.
Listen to you.
Every week, Damo, there's someone that doesn't like you. Someone else.
This is my point, Bristol. And you're too good a bloke to have that happen to you.
And we patch it up.
So
usually,
I want you to find yourself.
Jim, 90% of what I do is positive. It's just that you choose to look at the negative.
Now, the only thing
I'm putting
is
it back on you.
Will Damo need psychological help? Will you be okay to get through
free this demo, or you'd be a bit sad, or
no. When have I ever cried poor about the treatment?
Yeah, pretty tough
about the bullying that I get on this station.
Pimply-eyed kid with a girlfriend.
High standard bullying.
Pimply-eyed. Visit a Billy.
High standard.
Bullying Bristol Records.
Don't let JB push around like that, Dana. Stand up and because you really annoy me sometimes because you're this guy that's got all these.
Here we go. This is going to be
Bristol's going
to have a crack at Dana.
You've got all these participation ribbons at home that you participated in the athletics.
This last year. This was last year's.
They're a purple ribbon. For just
I got fourth and fifth, didn't I?
Going in the tunnel ball thing, all that sort of thing.
Egg and spoon race.
Participation ribbon. Sack and you're race. Just a ribbon collector.
As opposed to the man who's given that list, who has now spent 12 months trying to position himself to take over from the icon of broadcasting in this country.
And Brian knows that's incorrect.
Well, he's trying to do the same thing. He's trying to cut your lunch. And what is happening between you and BT every single week is Lewis Martin. Hey, Lewis, it's Jim here.
Yeah.
I need to throw to the ad break more than BT is this week.
Long way back. Bristol's the man.
And Brian's then doing another
thing. Got the stopwatch out there. Oh, no.
Only got 48% of game time.
Exactly. Jim's starting to take over.
While we're on that, it hasn't really been that even.
Damo. I want to pick your brain, but then by extension, everyone involved in this conversation.
My negative brain, Jim.
Yeah, well, you do get too negative. And now I'll put you on negative notice. Nancy. So I think actually you'll emerge out of that.
No, no.
For a better person.
I won't be changing, Jim.
You'll emerge out of that funk.
He already looks more positive.
I think he does.
How do I look more positive?
Take the glasses off. You look a lot better.
Go and buy some purple
get some hair.
You knob.
AFL players and their increasing roles in the media has been a spotlight now for the last week or so. I see where Paul Marsh, head of the AFLPA, has had his say on it, saying...
That's what he said.
He basically said when players come out and speak and give something, they immediately get clubbed and therefore they retreat and don't ever want to do it again. Mm. If we want players involved in the media, then when they do give something, we've got to embrace what they give. And I think there's something in that. You had, we did make a heap of it in the last segment, Purple, but you did have a little go at Hodgie about what happened up there in Brisbane.
And just to back over that, Jim, given you've raised this topic on the back of negativity in the previous segment, just to give it a context, I've clarified and apologised for getting part of that opinion piece wrong on Hodge, and it was three lines in total. One of them was wrong, and I've apologised for that. Don't need to go again, but I don't back away from thinking that was bad TV. Now, I know you had a different view on it. We discussed it last week, but just because Paul Marsh and just because certain players think it's okay that they go down that path, it's okay for me to have the opinion that it, to me as a consumer, it doesn't work all the time and doesn't enhance the coverage. Now, that is my opinion on this. That's not going to change just because Paul Marsh tells me I should back off on having a view on someone daring to go down that path.
All right. So the issue with Jordan Lewis, for instance, would appear to be only there, Duck, because he played an indifferent game of footy. Jack Riewoldt has done the same show as Jordan Lewis now for 3 years and has played very well, and Richmond have won premierships and been in prelims. No one's ever questioned Jack Riewoldt's right to do what he's doing.
No, and it was always going to happen. And it always does happen, unfortunately. If you're playing well and you're doing your media stuff, no one says anything. And as soon as your form wanes, then
we've got to be better than that.
That's an old attitude, isn't it?
It is an old attitude.
It's still
totally
prevalent,
agree.
Though, isn't it, though, BT? It's still the most prevalent attitude I think we've got in the industry. And it's not just media on that front either. Taking a harsh view of people who do it, it'll be the clubs themselves, Jim. You know that. I mean, you've raised this as a
media, be better than that,
but the clubs aren't better than it. The clubs aren't. The clubs are the worst at it. So this thing about the people having opinions on media now, that's fine. Bring it on. Keep going your absolute hardest and keep doubling down on it. But it's the clubs themselves.
Talking we're talking about the players. Well,
no, but we are, Jim. Because
you know, with the broadcasting of footy, JB, I do think a little bit that sometimes we go too deep. Like, there needs to be a bit of mystique that's not unveiled and not exposed. And I think we the media are now pressing into all areas where we're getting every nook and cranny we can, coach at every time, every player at every time, you know, quarter time, half time, during the game, the whole thing. And there's got to be some mystery left for the people. You can't expose everything.
All right, so the game up in Brisbane last Easter Eve.
The Collingwood
Brisbane game, where Bruce McAvaney was with Daniel Rich walking up the race. I absolutely loved it.
Yep,
because for me, I saw that and went, how brilliant is that? So for you three who have done that many times, that's a great experience that you had. I think it's probably the best, almost the best fun thing you do in a game of footy is that camaraderie up the race we're about to take. So for Macca to be with Daniel Rich and walk up the race and experience that and therefore a million people experience it with him, I thought was absolutely brilliant. So I'm for it.
I'm for it too. I agree with you. But it does come down to the interview and who you're interviewing. I mean, you...
Correct.
You know, Ben Brown and Hamish, I think that was that, last night. You know, and Ben doesn't do a lot of media, but I thought he actually did that quite well and they went through the runner. So it was a little bit, it was interesting. So if the player doesn't give anything, it can fall flat.
Toby Nankervis.
It can fall flat, can't it?
No, that's also an important point in this whole discussion, Bill. Players have the right to say no if they don't want to do something. If Ben Cunnington doesn't want to speak, then that's okay. And they've always must be able to retain that right.
Yeah, that's right. But see, Paddy Dangerfield does a lot of it, and he does it well.
No, but he does it well. He's entertaining in doing it.
Some know they're not good at it.
You're always going to get something out of it. To go back, and I get your point, Damo, but I disagree because I thought what Hodgie said in a couple of those pieces were educational.
Yep.
So, you can get something out of that. So, once again, it comes back to content.
And the other thing you hear often, you hear often from players, commentators don't understand the game or don't know what they're talking about with the modern game and all that sort of thing, JB. The thing that people need to realise out there is that we're guessing to a certain degree because the coaches don't, until very, very recently, don't invite you in and tell you the plan and how it's done. Mm. We as commentators have to guess what's said behind closed doors.
I'm guessing when it's Richmond.
I would argue a lot of the players that are actually playing don't know what they're doing either.
Yeah.
But we are going to see more of it, Purple. It's 2019. Yeah. It's going to keep happening. So I just think we need, as an industry, to embrace it. And I'm a bit with Paul Marsh. If it doesn't quite work or if a player's performance on the back of it isn't good, I don't think we then go reverting back 30 years.
But it's conditional involvement with the media too, Jim. There is, again, I'm not... Please distance this comment from the one I made on Luke Hodge last week. There is a paycheck involved in a lot of it.
In a lot of it.
You talked about game coverage, so that's separate. But the other media that we refer to, and that's most of the media that goes between the last game on a Sunday night through to the next one on a Friday night, is non-football coverage. So there's a paycheck attached to that, which is conditional and it's compromised.
Purple, am I going back to...
The list. Yeah.
Am I dusting negatively?
I'm allowed to have my views, Jim, and what I'm saying is part of this debate.
But some players get towards the end of their career and they go, "Oh, what am I going to do here? I'll do a bit of media."
Can you read the formal bit out again when he's looking to try to?
But they get towards the end and they got nothing. So.
I might just walk out. might be easier for all of you.
Let's have a look at the games coming up today. We've got 3 or 4 minutes to get through that. The Q Clash demo, and you spent a lot of time up in Brisbane. I've always loved. Because they can't stand each other, these two.
Yeah, they don't
and
like
any
each other.
Game where they can't stand each other, I like.
And Toot Miller will go to...
Well, Zorko.
This is something to look forward to.
Got the better of him.
Should be a big one, Bill.
I would argue twice.
Brian, don't
should
Brian.
Be a beauty.
Brian
should almost be like Anzac Day with Collingwood. That'll be a ripper.
Listen to this.
Both these teams in the best form going up against one another that they've ever been.
Agreed.
I can't wait for this game to start.
We're about to broadcast.
This is a huge cue.
Biggest one in history.
Can't wait.
Listen to Bristol.
Put him on your list.
That's it.
Negativity.
If it's not Anzac Day, it's not worth being involved.
I'm looking forward to the blockbuster.
The one we got.
I love it, Purple, because they literally detest each other, these two mobs. And any time that exists in a game of footy makes for a good game of
footy. Well, it's the Saturday night game as well. It's got the same origins of the contest, don't they? With the GWS and Sydney Swans. And that's a nice rivalry developing as well.
Bridge. Long history.
Toby Green back.
Long history building up with the Q Clash.
Have a listen to Brian.
It's got to start somewhere, BT.
How didn't he get on your list?
He's bloody lucky not to have
appeared. The most negative person in his positive.
The great counterpuncher.
Lucky not to have appeared in this with this baby. St Kilda Adelaide, the game you boys are all doing.
Yes.
St Kilda flying.
Intriguing game, that one. I can't wait. wait. I seriously can't wait. St Kilda playing some really good footy. Adelaide back into some form, albeit against Gold Coast at home. So, interesting game, this one for me.
It's a crucial one from Adelaide's perspective, isn't it, Duck?
Must win.
They still feel they can shape this season. And St Kilda deep down feels and hopes it can. But well, Adelaide, from an entry to 2019 perspective.
Surely St Kilda are running out of troops, aren't they? Surely the depth.
We're going to find out. We're going to find out, though, just how good this St Kilda team is in terms of, talk about just playing your role. And that's what they've got a lot of right now, Bill, just doing all of the little things.
Over in Perth, Fremantle take on the Dogs. Freo have been one of the surprise
good.
Packets.
Yeah.
But about that forward line last week, taking 27 marks,
yeah,
didn't they?
Yeah, Tabana and Hogan.
Look, you know I'm what? Shocked best, at how they're going.
Best defence in the AFL.
Are they?
The best defence in the AFL. Them? What's good about them? Yeah. Defending.
No, the defence. What's good about the defence?
Well, they're keeping the opposition to a low score.
Oh, so you've just read a stat. So Luffy's just given you a David King type stat, and you've just gone, oh, yeah.
And the
I'll
dogs
take
are...
that to the Warren.
The Dogs are brought in at all, which is actually good. They were very short last week.
Well, the problem with the Dogs is their inability to score.
All right, two
can
more.
We have a triple M war room?
Hawthorn, Carlton.
Hawthorn, Carlton.
Down at Launceston.
Launceston, do you give the Blues a chance?
Yeah, I do.
I'd be going down to watch that game.
Yeah, I think. I've got that game tomorrow myself, so looking forward to that. It's
Curno playing?
Not sure, Bill.
And Geelong West Coast as we get ready to go.
GMHBA Stadium. Cats, a big game again. They lost last time at home, which they normally don't do.
Cats hard to beat at home.
Yeah, go and enjoy your Saturday. Very nice to see you all. Nice Saturday rub performance, Purple. Get more positive.
Positive purple.
Stop purple. Sucking up to your bosses, Jim.
Get into Macca's now. Enjoy a double beef and bacon meal deal. It's only going to cost you $5. And for McDonald's, this has been Triple M rocking the Saturday rub.